Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
We know him and are known by him. He knows your name, right? So we are one because we belonged to the Father, okay? And he gave us to Christ, all right? Now, this is stuff where I don't know if you've ever taken the time to slow down and really hear what Jesus is saying in this prayer, but he says in John 17:6, I have manifested your name to the men who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. All right? So, can I just get out of the ethereal here for a minute, and can we just talk for a moment? And if we don't get through the whole sermon, that's right. Leftovers next week, you know, it saturates for a little while, and you know how the flavors work together, and it's okay anyway. You know, so, but, how do we go about improving on this? You know, God has invited us to know him. And so what is it that takes that from a, yeah, that's cool, you know, to where it's actually experienced for us? What do you do to know God? That was a real question, by the way. Sometimes they ask, you know, ones that I'm going to answer them. No, this is for you to answer. I mean, you got to tell them, you know, they look at you, you know, and it's like, what, you know, he doesn't think we're going to answer that, does he? Yeah, I do. Okay, I got one. We might even have two in the same row. Look at this. Okay, make time. Okay, so let's talk about this. Time. Oh, my word. I left my handheld device. Quick, hang on. We got to get it. Wait, this is the biggest time robber in the whole wide world. Okay, trying to get time with God. And last night I'm preparing the sermon, and you know, I had a couple of like emergency situations we're kind of working on the side, so I had the cell phone sitting on the desk. That's unusual. Normally I leave it out at the kitchen table. But I'm praying, you know, it's like, you know, I'm thinking, no, you know, making time. Yeah, but making time is part of what it's going to take. You want to get to know me, it's going to take time. All right? I had somebody come to my house one time, and they started asking me all these impertinent questions. And I said, is this a friendship questionnaire? I said, because if you want to get to know, you're just going to have to hang out with me, okay? Yes, ma'am. Spending time. Well, there you go, making time, spending time. You know, and they're sitting near each other, probably why. Okay, but okay, yeah. See, because it's one thing to map out some time, isn't it? But then when you get right down to it, I mean, I had an experience, and the person no longer is here, so that's okay. Come on ahead. Oh. You know something? Something in my heart said, I know. Bless you. Good to see you. Come on, have a seat. So, anyways, but I remember it was somebody that I had wanted to get to know, and I went somewhere where they were, and we had to wait together for like about 2 hours in this little room. And a year later, I bumped into them again, and they couldn't decide if they'd met me before. And I said, that is perhaps because last time we met, you were busy. And he blushed, okay, because the whole time he sat in that room, he was on his handheld device. All right, we were together. God had made some time for us. However, we didn't spend time. So there's a difference between those two things. I mean, it's one thing to make time, it's another thing to actually spend the time, to actually use the time to you know, for the purpose, right? What else? So we aren't just talking ethereally about, yeah, I know God, you know, and it's like, ooh, you know, that sounds like something from another planet. What is it? You know, what do we do? Talk to him. That was one of the cool things that I discovered when I first got saved, because I was reading the Bible and understanding it for the first time, and and it seemed like God would listen to and or talk to anybody who seemed to want to talk to him. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes you get this, like, you know, Gregorian chants in the background and, you know, and kind of like the dark little room with the little kneeler, you know. No, I mean, yeah, just you're driving down the road and, yeah. Some of my best conversations with God happen in the car. Watch out behind me. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was another answer to the question. Okay, you get to know God by watch out behind you. I'm thinking, okay. No, all righty. Yeah, okay, no problem. Go. It's okay. So, do you need help? No, you're good. Okay. All right. So talk to him. You know, that was, and I remember, and then after I'd been a Christian for about 18 months, you might remember that first 18 months, I didn't know there were other Christians. And so eventually what happened was is that I got into a Bible study with some people. We won't say where they were from, but anyways, but they told me that God does not talk to people anymore. And I said, you're a little late for that. I said, because God's been talking to me. And I said, I haven't needed, you know, it's I'm okay. You know, it's like, it's not, these are not delusions that I'm having. God is talking to me. And I said, and I know he is because he's rescued me a couple of times. So talking to him. And again, not just formally in times of, hey, you know, this is, we're praying now, you know, but just, yeah, that is an important thing. Jesus did that all the time with the Father. He'd just be walking along, talking to the disciples and everything like that, and he'd just look up to heaven, talk to God, and actually this prayer, and they're walking from dinner to the garden, and he just stops and he has this would be about a 15-minute little interlude here, just to have a little conversation with the Father. Yeah. Believe. Yeah. Now, believe is going to need some help, okay? Because there's this one thing in Scripture about belief, and it's like, you're right. You're absolutely right. You have to believe. Because if he that comes to God must believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so, yeah, but it's believing, you know, coupled together with this thing where it's like, what do I believe about him? You know, that I've got this truth that I'm believing about God, and it's like, yeah. And then when God speaks, you know, or God shows you something, to believe him. Yeah? Am I taking it off course and I should? No, okay, all right, okay, good. I just want to make sure. Did I make sure I didn't take it away? Yeah. Yeah, okay, so the Word gives guidance to what we believe, our faith, okay? And faith, it's interesting. Wow. Oh, now we got a little three-piecer here, okay? We got believe, we got the Word, and then there's this middle piece, which is obedience, because if you get full of faith, you know, you become faithful, which then implies the obedient. And so, yeah, so I heard a voice. Joseph, what you got? Just give me one more text. It's all right.
Because
we love God. That's right. Yeah. Yep. That's right. He's preaching my sermon for me. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah. So these are things that, you know, we walk in faith, we walk in them in obedience, we you know, and we're, if I segregate this knowing God thing to an hour on Sunday morning, or an hour and a half in this case, you know, it's never going to get strong, all right? So to understand that these things need to start to permeate our life, okay? All right, so we have the Word of God. All right, we have the actual words of God. Now, mind you, they were probably spoken in Aramaic or Hebrew or some other language, but we have the actual things that God said. How about that? All right, so John 7 and 8 says, "Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them." Okay, it's very important, and they receive them. Okay, and truly, they have not only received them, and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed. Okay, and they believed that you sent me. Okay, all right. So that kind of pulls this in. Okay, through the Word, we understand and believe that Jesus came from the Father. Why is that important? Yeah, I'm going for the idea there's nothing more important, but yeah. Exactly, the capstone of our faith. You know, that Jesus wasn't just... There's lots of people on the planet. In fact, there are whole segments of people on the planet who think, hey, he's a good teacher. You know, didn't come from the Father, but he's a good teacher. You know, I mean, he's a prophet, but not like God sent him or something. No, I mean, he's a prophet, yeah. You know, he gave some good prophecies, and, you know. But no, you know, what we believe is different. We believe that he came forth from the Father. He wasn't born in the sense of, like, you know, natural birth as far as his deity, okay? I mean, his humanity was born into this world. He took on human flesh. But there was a time when God brought him into that human flesh and brought him in amongst us. The incarnation, all right? That, I mean, what a powerful thing. That this person who came is not just a man of God, he is the man God, the God man, right? They have believed, they've come to believe through this word that you've given to me, which I've given to them, and they've received. They've come to know something, and that's that I came from you. And so what they received from me was right from the throne of God. Okay? And so Jesus is saying, look, these are the things that are going to make them one. So they aren't, how many did we say? 3,000, maybe 33,000. Different estimates of how many different little groups of Christians there are wandering the planet, all thinking that all the rest of us are all wrong. All right? By the way, when people say, now, what kind of church is your church? I go, Christian. They go, well, yeah, but what kind of Christian? Christian. We follow Jesus. You know, we read the word, we pray, we're trying to live the life the way God told us to, you know. And so then you're not Catholic. I said, well, I'm guessing no, because, you know, but I says, but, you know, so then you're Protestant. No, they threw us out. I don't know if you know, historically, that just happens to be the case, you know, that, the Protestant Reformation kind of looked a little scant on people that believe the Holy Spirit was still doing stuff today, and so they kind of had this way of saying, shoo, you know, and anyways, I said, no, I don't think we're Protestant. I said, I don't really have anything against any of them all. I said, we're not really trying to be Protestant, we're not really trying to be Catholic, we're not really trying to be Orthodox, we're just trying to be Christians. You cannot believe the number of people that when they hear that I actually mean that, go, yeah, yes, yes. All right? See, because I don't know about y'all, but I'm really trying to live out this prayer of Jesus, that they may be one. All right? I might shock you with some of the people that I've hung out with and ministered with. All right? Because, quite frankly, if they fit Jesus' description of his, I'm okay. You know, and I'm not going to be too quick to say, well, you say you're his, but I don't think so. You know, I mean, you think you're his, well, you got a few things wrong. Not like me, I'm perfect, but, you know. But it's like, you know, but this thing about being one, to understand, he's the one who's perfect, and I know him. That's what makes us one, is that we all humbly under God realize we're not it. It's not about me, it's about him. You know, and just, you know, oh, goodness. You ever go to a family gathering hoping to get loved and got an argument instead? You know? And I mean, I've had it once or twice, you know? But I'm on a bus, and a guy sees I got a Bible. He happens to be the driver. And anyways, and so he starts asking me questions. Oh, you a believer? I says, yep. And uh-oh, then the questionnaire started. Well, what church do you go to? Okay. So I told him what church I went to, and he's, well, I heard, you know, and some totally false interpretation of, like, what that church believed and everything like that. And I said, oh, I don't know who told you that, but I says, whoever told you that, I says, was quite, I'm sure, quite purposely twisting what those people believe. I said, what they believe is this, and I'm taking it that you must believe this. And I said, I remember this sense of disappointment that I felt like I'd found a brother and lost a brother like in a moment, you know. But I said, no, I'm not going to lose a brother that quick. So I'm bad, I know. It's just I do it anyway. So I just said, you know, I got this Bible. I says, if you get a moment, can you tell me the scripture in there that says, if my faith is in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I have perfect doctrine, that I'm saved? Long silence. He then apologized for twisting what he'd said about those other people, and I felt like I had my brother back. You know, I mean, because look, you know, we can grind doctrine all day long. It should be a wonderful conversation that we have till Jesus gets back and straightens us all out. Okay, but to divide fellowship and say that's not my brother, you're not my sister. You know, it's like, you know, and just this nee-nee-nee-nee stuff we get going on. Jesus prayed that we'd be one. Jesus, I want to give you your prayer. At least, as far as concerns me, I want you to have what you prayed for. Okay? That we might be one. And Lord, I'm going to be real slow to point the finger. I'm going to be real slow to judge. I'm going to be real quick to hear. I'm going to be, oh, Lord, help me with this one, slow to speak. You know, I mean, you know, what if that Bible is actually a book about relationship that had doctrine in it, rather than a book about doctrine that said we should have some relationships by the way? This prayer seems to say that the doctrine is very, very important. The word, the truth, I mean, it's very, very there. But there's this relationship that underlies it all. We are sanctified and sent by this word, all right? And it is the word of truth. John 17, 15 through 17. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. All right? The evil one. The devil. Satan. Lucifer. The prince of the power of the air. The ruler of this world. He says, I don't pray that you take him out of there. That would have been the easy way out of this. Just take him out of there. But he says, no. He says, keep him in the world. But keep him from the evil one. How many people think that Jesus prayed unnecessary prayers? Okay, Jesus does not pray unnecessary prayers. You need prayer to be kept from the evil one. All right? You need prayer to be kept from drugs. You need prayer to be kept from alcohol. You need prayer to be kept from suicidal depression. You need prayer to be kept from, name it. You know, I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, I open the newspaper for the crying out loud and there's junk in there. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I don't even have to say turn on the TV, do I? You know, okay. I mean, you know, the commercials for the crying out loud will do you in. All right. And what I want you to understand is that you are Christ's ambassadors and he desires to speak through you, okay, to people. All right. You are foreigners in this place, okay? And the reason why you are foreigners is because the world, according to 1 John, lies in wickedness. We are from God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Okay? Porneia is the Greek word. You know, it's just this, it's yucky, all right? I mean, it is full of sin and junk, all right? And in that place, try to walk through the parking lot today without getting a little mud on your shoes. All right? Try to walk through this life without bumping into situations where the evil one would like to lead you away from this place where you're one with God. Just a little this, that. Oh, yeah. Hey, come on. Don't be so self-righteous. No, don't, you know, nobody's perfect. You know, hey, I'm not a saint. You know, hear that one more time. I'm going to get my Bible out and preach on sainthood here and help you to understand. It's got nothing to do with having one miracle and a council in Rome deciding you're a saint. Okay, it has everything to do with your faith in Jesus Christ and your decision to obey him. You're a saint, okay? All right, sorry. Okay, so here we go. John 17, 15 through 17. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world. Wait a minute, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, look, you're like me. I'm not of the world, and you are neither. You know me. Here's the deal. Don't be of the world. And when the evil one comes calling, you have a defense. It's just one word, Jesus. Because, you know what? I belong to him. I'm not yours. You know, I belong to Jesus. I know him, and I'm not going to compromise this. 17, 18. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Okay, God sent him into the world, and he's now saying, the new incarnation is you. He was God in the flesh, and now you are the body of Christ. As the Father sent me, so send I you. John 17, 20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus says, look, here's the deal. There's no breakdown in my relationship with the Father. I'm in him, he's in me, and I am in you, and that makes you in us. Now, that's a whole sermon. That one part of a verse is a series of sermons that would take us a long time, but the simplicity of it is this. My mother used to say this when you go out the door. She'd say, behave. Right? Anybody else, mother, say that? Behave! You know, behave yourself. Sometimes two words. All right? And what she was saying was, remember who you are. And you get out there and you get amongst all your goofy friends and all the stupid stuff they're doing. Don't get sucked into that stuff. Remember who you are. You know? And, you know, if I am taking the time, let's, and this will be our next stopping and last stopping off point for this morning, but, you know, if I take the time in an average day to take some time with this, to say, God, look, I know you are in Christ, and I know that Christ is in me, and that makes us one. And Lord, I wanna express that being one to all the people that I meet. So, all right, here we go. He's gonna ask hard questions again, and then we'll pray. But how might you go about experiencing on some given day that experience of Jesus and the Father, Father's in Jesus, and I'm in Jesus? How does that get off the page out of being an ethereal thought to being something I'm living? I was hoping you could answer this because I didn't get it. No, I'm just kidding. Well, treat it like that. You know, don't think he's got the answer and he's going to make me look like an idiot. No. I mean, no. That's always the fear in the classroom, you know. Teacher asks a question, you know I'm going to look like an idiot for answering it. No, not at all. Come on. Yeah. Brother Lawrence wrote a book, The Practice of the Presence of God. Yeah, and the title all by itself is worth the book. You know, it's like, what if I stopped doing something and started doing something else? What if I stopped living life like God really isn't there and started living like, God, you're right here? In fact, so intimately so, no human being can have the closeness with me that you have because you live inside of me. What if we started really inviting that? Yeah. What else? Uh-oh. You invite me to preach for a month on this, you know. Yeah, I probably should. Not that I got a month's worth of material now, but God'll be good, won't he? Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I'm not asking you to preach. Yeah? Yeah, it's that we respond, okay? Things get said, and then we say things, right? I mean, very very seldom are we that original that we are the originator of all things or anything like that. So usually what it is something's happened, something's going on, and so that I'm gonna, what if I decided, Lord, with your help to the best that I can, I'm not gonna respond to anything without first taking into account that you are in Christ, Christ is in you, and I'm in Christ, so I'm in you. What if I started really thinking to myself, wait a minute, you know, what comes out of here, according to Jesus, came out of here? And so wait, what's supposed to be in the heart that would then modify what's coming out of the mouth? Not just good ideas, but God himself. God, your dwelling place is in here. That your dwelling place is in my, that you dwell in me. I'm in you. And so I like, you know, and God, you know, when your word says that out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth is going to speak. Wait a minute. What if God made the world such that people, when they hear those that follow Jesus, are supposed to believe that whatever they're hearing from those people is coming from God? What if the devil decided to use that? I don't know if your heart's doing the same thing mine's doing, but yeah. What if God actually made the world so that when somebody that's his speaks, that the receiver on the other end, the assumption somewhere down, they can't necessarily identify this, but some down even their heart says, what's coming from them is coming from God. Uh-oh. So before you get scared, let's get a little more saved. Little, not theologically correct, but but wait a minute, what if? No, can this just work in you for a little bit? Because the reason I'm not filling the space with words is because I'm thinking that maybe the Holy Spirit just do something here. What if I started just grasping and practicing in my life an awareness that, you know, that whatever's coming out of my mouth is supposed to be mixed with faith. It's supposed to be mixed with this awareness that God dwells in me. And that the expectation that those around me might have is that if they were looking for God, that what they hear coming out of the mouth of a believer would be something that would lead them to God. And how far am I from that? Man, I'll tell you know, I don't feel like I'm right on top of this, hey, let me teach you. All right, I'm more in the place where I'm saying, God, teach us. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. You are the mouthpiece of a nation. And in this case, you're the mouthpiece of God. Yeah. She's not here this morning, so I can talk about her just a little bit. It's nothing bad. It's just that, but there was a lady who came into church one Sunday morning and said, you know, how can I know God? How can I hear God? Right? Okay, and so, just so you know, we as a congregation have been the witness, you know, that she's been checking into and just kind of saying, you know. And, you know, and so she rightly, I think, looks at this congregation as an expression of what it is she's looking for. Okay, so like when she hears us talk and when she sees us act and notices us praying or whatever we're doing, she tends to think, well, this is what people who follow God do, all right? This is what people who follow God say. This is what people who know him, you know, and she's heard me preach, you know, that, hey, you know, Christ is in us, and, you know, and so this is the manifestation of what it is that God does, you know, when somebody comes to him. He reveals himself to them. They know him. You know, they've got his word inside of them. He dwells inside of them by his spirit, and this is what it produces. Now, lest you walk out the door with the discouragement side of this, what I want to do is invite you to the possibility side of all this. This is not, you know, a finger-shaking session. This is a possibility session. This is a blue sky session. This is like... what is possible if God is living in you? What is possible if he's given you his actual words? What is possible if he's given you his name, which we'll have to get to? What is possible if God has put his glory, his dignity, his splendor in you? Now, mind you, he's covered it with an earthen vessel. Okay? I'm not talking about... these radiant beings kind of thing. No, I mean, we are earthen vessels. But what it says is hidden inside that earthen vessel is a treasure. What if we started just, God, that treasure that you put in me, Lord, help me to understand it. Help me to understand what you've given to me. And Lord, help me to in obedience, just live this out. And that, wow, the possibilities, God. You know, that somebody just meeting an ordinary person who isn't really trying to be something they're not is just being what you say we are. And God, you could just get a hold of them. You could just take hold of their heart. You could take hold of their life. You could change their destiny. You could change eternity for them. And all it's going to take is, well, one of the things it's going to take anyways is for me to just grasp. Jesus in you, you're in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. And I'm living in this world, and you prayed that I be kept from the evil one. And so now, Lord, I want to be that person. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to make time. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to believe. I'm going to talk to you. And I'm going to believe for the possibilities of what you can do. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.